How could you do this? How could you invite a bunch of weirdos into our sanctum?
Hello, and welcome to The Fort for our second ever episode of Key Fort, a podcast about all things Keyforge. Today on Key Fort, Scott did something bad.
What did you do in my fort without me?
And how do the guys really feel about Mars?
Some decks belong to go in the trash, and that's how I feel about most Mars decks.
Need some tips for playing with first-timers?
They'll be polite, and then they'll never play it again because you kind of puked all over them.
Look out!
It's a bomb cyclone!
I don't even know what that is.
Let's open up the fort.
Hello and welcome to Key Fort, our Key Forge podcast. I'm Dan and I'm here with Jeff and Scott, and our producer, Jason.
I'm Jeff. How's it going, guys?
And I'm Scott, and I have a surprise for you guys. I stopped by Dreamer's Vault over in Minneapolis, a local gaming store, and I bought a deck of, or a pack, rather. No, what do they call it?
Box.
That's called a box.
That's a box.
Yeah, it's got 12 of them in it. Yeah. You get them for a price of 11 over there.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I figured that I'll buy it here, and I'll just, like, make a little envelope, and people can put 10 bucks in it and take a pack, and then I get a freebie, right?
There you go.
Yeah. They had this thing, which was in the middle of one of their gamer catalogs that they get to in order to buy their stuff.
Spoilers.
And it's the spoiler alert for the new set, The Age of Ascension. And there's
fun.
This cool new centerfold artwork. Look at that. Isn't that cool?
Whoa.
That's
Is that
fun.
A Mars Martian in like a pod? It's in like an octopod.
It's
with
an
like
octopod.
A bunch of lasers and shit.
Yeah, and then right next to it, there's a fuzzy octopus with horns. It's a fuzzy octopus.
It looks like a grown-up
wormhole. Is that
going to
be Dist or is that Mars?
That looks untamed, I think.
That looks
Logos.
Oh,
maybe it's untamed.
That looks like a grown-up wild
wormhole.
It's got the
colors
I think
of
this guy's
untamed.
Logos. He's got like a halo
obviously.
Over his head.
Oh, yeah. He's like a cyber.
Where's the sanctum?
Weirdo.
This guy's Brobnar. It's like two redheads.
And they're
like
they're bros.
Yeah, pretty
right?
much a goblin deck in Magic.
And then this thing's sweet. This is a sanctum guy that's being pulled into the abyss by floating Dist arms.
Holy shit.
That thing's sweet. And then we got a Shadows guy here who's a girl looking like she's going to steal some ember.
Super elusive, probably.
And then over in the corner right, we've got a Sanctum guy with a glowing halo. But what I want to call out here is the color of the new set. It is blue.
Blue.
Great.
And there's a new person on the cover. What's it got on the back? That guy's crazy.
So
it's the same houses.
On this
then.
Page,
it's not new houses.
It's not new houses.
Okay,
it's the same houses on this page. This is a centerfold cutout. It's a four pager, and as you open it, you get kind of a spoiler alert. On one side, it's the Age of Ascension two player starter set, where it talks about what's going to be in there, and it looks like the same stuff. So that's good. And then they have five or six cards on each side here, and each one of them are conveniently spoiler free. Where they put up tokens, or they cut it, or they put other cards in front of it, so you can't really see what the mechanic is, which is kind of fun. Anyways, I just thought it was cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It was kind of funny because I went in there and they were like, "Hey, I've got this cool thing to show you," and it took them like 7 minutes to find it. And the entire time they were just in there bustling around, being like, "Oh, I'm gonna find it. I'm gonna find it."
Nice.
Did they mention a release date?
Yes, July. It sounds like. I don't see anything on here, but they did mention July, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so look forward to that. That's going to be super fun.
Fort Report!
In this edition of the Fort Report, we have April Storms and Stranger Danger. It is currently shit out. It's a bomb cyclone! We're going to get 5 to 8 inches of snow before this thing is done. It is 50 degrees in the fort. It's 33 degrees outside. It's snowing. The temperature is very chilly. The roads are awful. Temperature in the fort is being maintained by Mr. Buzzy. He's our resident heater. And we've got lots to cover in this fort report, mainly Stranger Danger. And one of the dorkier things to happen in the fort, and that is saying a lot, Jeff invites his disc golf board of directors for his disc golf club into the fort. They ate all our snacks, and they drank all our beer, and they left at least 5 bags of dead potato chips on the table. Dan?
How could you do this? How could you invite a bunch of weirdos into our sanctum?
Okay. I admit some of them are weirdos. Some of them are pretty cool guys. And I'm pretty sure it was only 3 bags of chips. and I replaced the beer. But I'm sorry I violated your trust.
Well, thank you for that apology.
It won't happen again.
In other news, Ryan, a neighbor and fellow Keyfort League member, popped in for a secret game of Keyforge while on an errand for his wife to get some Diet Coke. He played a game of secret Keyforge, but lost his keys. He narrowly avoided catastrophe by finding them in the yard. It was a very close call, Jeff.
Yeah, it was actually pretty funny because he's got a bit of an MO with this. It used to be disc golf. He'd sneak out, go get a round in it of disc golf, and then just complain that the lines at the grocery store were too long. This time he almost had to walk home without his car, without the Diet Coke, without his keys, and explain to his wife where he's been for an hour and a half, and why he doesn't have Diet Coke, and why they can't use the car anymore.
Let's hope she never listens to this podcast.
That's a good point. He'd be pretty outed. So yeah,
super pissed.
Sorry about that, Ryan.
We had a league off week. Jeff, Dan, and Jason were all out of town for various reasons. Jeff had to put his business pants on and fly somewhere to deal with some very important business matters. Dan went highfalutin in New York City, and Jason hung out with some giraffes in Florida. Meanwhile, I was left at home to tend to Jason and Jeff's cats, Scatman and Snezzy Ferguson, a.k.a. Ted Banaka, a.k.a. Reggie in the Full Effect, and introduce another Scott to the fort and to Keyforge. He rocked me with a heavy-hitting Mars deck with several tunks to start his Keyforge career undefeated.
Also, I'd like to talk about something. You also stranger dangered the fort, but you did clear it with me first.
I asked permission to bring strangers into the fort. So they're not strangers, they're friends.
And Scotty's a good dude, so I was okay with that. And it was all in the name of Keyforge.
And now for your gaming fortune. The Fortune Cookie is brought to you by our partner, Bob Nard, Plumbing and Pet Disposal, servicing the Greater Crucible for the last 103 years. Let's see what we've got. Do or do not, there is no try.
That's awful. That sounds like trademark infringement.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds familiar. Was that Star Trek?
Shut up.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we're going to move it on then. One of the things I want to talk about here, since this is a podcast about Keyforge, is Mars. I really love it. I know we all have kind of different points of view on it. I know Jason loves it. I'm going to put words in your mouth because Jason doesn't talk. But I just want to hear from you guys. You know, what do you think about it? What do you think about the mechanics, the characteristics, the strategy, and do you like to play it?
So I don't have too much of an opinion on Mars. I only have like one or two Mars decks, and those are the ones I just opened. But it seems to me like it is like a weenie red kind of thing from Magic, where you've got a lot of speed and banding stuff. All the stuff likes to kind of come together. You've got scientist and agent spotting. There's a lot of spotting, actually. You want to look at other Mars cards, and it seems like it would work well with a lot of cycling. So you can get through your other cards to get a mittful of Mars to make those mother guns and whatever else work by revealing Mars cards. But it's not really my kind of deal.
Yeah, to me, it just seems a little too random. There's just so much stuff going on with it, and you have to have everything in the right spot. And a lot of the rares, to me, seem like they're dead cards. There's something that requires a certain thing. I think I have 13 decks, three or four of them have Mars, and one of those is currently in the trash. Threw it away.
That's a good point. You did throw one away.
Threw it away.
It was like a bad D20 in a game of D&D. Just huck it in the trash and move on.
Yeah, some garbage. Decks belong to go in the trash, and that's how I feel about most Mars decks.
See, I don't know if they should go in the trash, because I think we talked about it on the last episode. The great part about this game is you can say, let's play, you know, maybe not our best decks. You know, let's not play bangers all the time. Let's see if we can make a deck click. And it could be fun. And I think Mars is awesome, partially because I love the artwork and the concept of Mars.
Sure.
I think it's pretty cool because it's like literally aliens invading the planet. They've got like laser blasters and rocket packs, and you can archive an enemy creature, right? Because they're like deep probing him and capturing, you know, and abducting people. So it's kind of cool. I like the meta part of that, but some of the cards do seem kind of dead, but I like it because when it clicks, it's really powerful and it takes a lot of thought. You have to play it in order, in the correct order. You can't really screw up. And there's a lot of, you know, like Martians make bad allies. It's like purge your Mars creatures, I think it is. I don't have it in front of me, but you know, you have to sacrifice your whole thing. It's an end game. You know, it's like clear your own battle board and gain an amber for everything you purged. And that's your, like, your last desperation.
Sure.
So yeah, that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah, I view Mars as support, right? Like something you can add to really any deck. I mean, that's how these all are, but right. But more so than anything, I view Mars as the support class, the one to come in and do a little bit of everything, do some key denial, do some stealing, do some direct damage, do some board control.
Some archiving.
Right. But it doesn't do any of it well, but it does all of it.
See, I'm not exactly sure. Some of the houses have like clear synergies between houses. I don't really see where Mars is, other than maybe Logos.
Right, yeah.
With the archiving and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's kind of my point. And
drawing.
And the question that I'd like to ask you guys is when you pull a Mars deck, what are you hoping to pair it with? What houses do you think are the best to that go along with it?
One of my decks, more on the banger side of the spectrum, has the Vault Keeper. It's Sanctum. Like using a Mars card like a Biomatrix backup or something is really sweet, because you kill this dude because he's got a passive ability. So anything with a passive ability, I think some of the Mars stuff is really good because you can bounce it. I don't know. I haven't given it that much thought. It just really, some of the decks seem to really click where it's got a lot of good board control, I guess.
In theory, I would like to see it with Logos just because of the drawing cards aspect and some of the archiving synergies you can have.
Yeah, I introduced this to Scott, like I said, in the Fort Report. He fielded a deck against me that seemed like it wasn't going to hit very hard. It had just a few rares, didn't look like it was very strong. But then he had two Tunks out on the battlefield. Tunks are the ones that your opponent's keys cost plus one more, so I was trying to forge at eight. And they're big. They're big creatures as well. So he could swing with them, and it was tied to Untamed. So he had a bunch of witches that would give him Amber Generation, and then he'd be bouncing stuff back to his archives and coming back out and giving Amber. And like, I couldn't do anything. I didn't forge one key. He just
gross.
Beat me really hard.
Jeez. Just banged you, huh? But, well, I mean, maybe not a banger yet. It's one game. But like, seriously, one of my favorite cards in the game is that Zixix, the many. And I probably butchered the pronunciation, but that's how I say it, so deal with it. He's awesome. You know, you get him out.
What is his mechanic again?
You reap with him, you reveal a card, a Mars creature in your hand, and you archive it, and he gets three power counters. So if you can get that guy out and then protect him or get somebody with taunt next to him, you know, like the big,
The Dominator, what's his
name? Yeah, the Zixix Ixili Dominator.
Yeah,
or
the Ixil
like
Dominator.
Ixil Dominator. If you can get him out next to Zixix the Many, you can just archive an entire mitt full of Mars creatures
right,
that have abilities, because there's a lot of Mars that says next one that comes in ready, and there's Mars creatures that you reap and then the next Mars creature comes in ready and it triggers. So I love that, because you can get a guy out there that's like 12-15 power reaping next to a taunt and build an end game where, you know, you could just throw down 6-7-8 Mars creatures in one turn and just dominate.
Right, the archiving is definitely another, that's a huge synergy with the spotting.
Yeah.
With wanting to spot so many Mars cards, you want to have a mitt full of them at some point.
Yep. And I think that's how you have to play it. And that's why I think what you were saying, Dan, with Logos is it makes a lot of sense, because you can really just stock up on pocket cards there and just bust it out at the end, because Mars has board control too. You can clear it out and then take over the board, and Bob's your uncle.
I like Mars and Brobnar.
Together?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's great. Well, yeah.
That's OP. Like, that's just brute force.
Mars lets you use other cards, and paired with Brobnar lets you, like, chain react.
Mm.
Sure.
Fighting and reaping with multiple creatures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of fight abilities in Mars, it seems.
Ready
like.
And use stuff,
yeah.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Mars too much, and maybe that's because I just don't have any good decks. There's just not a lot of synergies in my decks. The one that I threw away had two of those artifacts that I even forget the name of it. I looked it up today too, but it's action, all creatures lose elusive. And it was paired with a Shadows deck with like five elusive creatures in it.
Right, yeah, that sucks.
I had some Martian elusive creatures too. And it's like, why would I want that?
Right.
Sometimes you get decks like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's going to happen when it's procedurally generated, you know. Yeah, I think my first Mars deck was like, target humans, right? And cool, if you're playing a deck that doesn't have like Logos or Sanctum, then it's useless.
So right.
You could bust it out and then you could just be screwed right off the bat.
That's what I'm talking about with dead cards. You know, I just don't want to see those. I don't want to see those dead cards.
right?
Yeah, I hear you. I think it's fun when it clicks, though. So I like it. It's probably not my favorite, but I like it.
Next up, I wanted to talk about teaching the game. I'm looking to teach my wife how to play the game, and it sounds like you guys have just recently taught a couple of people the game. You've got the other Scott.
The dude. Justin.
Justin. Okay, yep. Cool.
Both disc golfers.
Okay. Yeah. That's how they met the group. They're not neighbors like the rest of you jerks?
Nope, they're not neighbors. They're disc golfers that we met throughout our various travels.
Disc golf. Technically, the dude was part of the Stranger Danger incident as well.
Oh, okay. So I hate him already.
Well, you know. He's a nice guy.
He was in the fort having some key fort.
Okay.
Where you sit.
Oh, that's weird.
No, he wasn't in Dan's seat. He was where I'm sitting.
Yeah.
I would never do that to Dan.
I know. I was just saying that to get under Dan's skin.
Yeah, well, it's not very hard, so.
But it was fun teaching him because he's, you know, a big Magic the Gathering player. They play a lot of big Commander decks. And
okay.
They've got, you know, the $1,000 decks, and they go out and spend $40 a card on the exact card they need. And I don't know if it clicked super hard. It was kind of your traditional introducing a Magic player where they're you know, worried about the wrong things on the battle board and they're trying to hold on to cards. You know, I was kind of coaching them a little bit, like cut bait and run. Don't hold a card for an end game because you're going to get through your deck at least once and come back to it. But yeah, it was interesting. We'd also had a few adult beverages, so it was getting long in the day, and I think he was kind of being polite. So he hasn't played again since.
Okay.
Yeah, and Scotty is he's a gamer and a disc golfer, and he's been playing Magic for a long time as well, and he caught on really quickly. And you're right, Jeff, though, it's just once they realize that it's not all about board control and that it's about Ember economy, it becomes a different game. And he caught on pretty quick, and like I said, he just rocked me. He just pummeled me, and there was nothing I could do because he was making all the right decisions, playing all the right cards, reaping with the right creatures at the right time on turn three.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. And yeah, I was talking to him the other day on the course, and I asked him how it was, and he said he was like, it was fun. It was a good time. It was very Hearthstone-y, and I don't know about Hearthstone, so I have no basis of comparison, but Dan, do you?
Yeah, I played a little bit. I didn't get super hard into it, but it's kind of a similar game where I believe you draw up to a hand and there's no mana. Coming from a Magic player, anything that doesn't have mana or an equivalent is going to all get lumped together.
Sure.
I think there are similarities there, too. It's been like 3 years since I've played Hearthstone, so
gotcha.
I can't comment too hard. But yeah, that's probably going to be a common theme.
For people listening out there who love this game like we do and they want to get other people involved, sometimes you get really excited about something and you're like, oh my God, you got to do this. It's so cool. Look at this. It's so neat. And you get so caught up that the person's like, what? And they'll be polite and then they'll never play it again because you kind of puked all over them.
Yeah.
How, you know, like what have you guys been finding when you're teaching folks, like tips for folks out there who want to get somebody into the game long term?
I mean, I would say you probably want to emphasize the Amber economy. That's the goal. That's the end game. That's how you win. Anytime you teach a board game or anything, you want to talk about the win condition. And then there's steps to get there. In this game, it's the amber and making sure you get that six or whatever amber for fortune keys.
Yeah, I would make sure that the player that I'm teaching is very well lubricated as far as it goes with beer and other various alcoholic beverages. And I would make sure that they're comfortable and the music that they want to listen to is on. And
this
that
isn't
every
a date.
Yeah, right.
And Jesus.
And that everything is nice and fine.
Where are
and
you
we're
going
comfortable
with this?
And we're just having a good time.
What did you do in my fort without me? Like what? Okay, so what record did you put on for Scott? How long did it take you to pick the right album on the turntable before he got here? Be honest. It was Pinback, wasn't it?
I'm trying to remember what it was. I think it was Pinback.
Oh, God,
yeah.
How long did you spend trying to decide on your outfit?
Good question. Good conversation, Dan.
Well, I mean, if you guys know me, you would have known that I would have changed twice already, right?
Fussy Scott.
Right, Fussy Scott. No.
Scott is wearing slippers.
My
he has
is,
fort shoes.
I do have fort shoes. They're you know what?
He carries them over really in quick. His backpack
they're,
and he puts his special shoes on.
They're leather Olakais. They're fantastic. I'm wearing them with my wool socks and Jesus. My nice tight jeans with my Mountain Hardware sweatshirt.
You're just pimping all the brands. Jason's going to be busy. Welcome to the North, ladies and gentlemen.
No, my point is that I want everybody who plays this game is going to love it as long as they're having fun. And so I would make sure that they're ready for fun. Let's just have a good time together and let's just play some cards and see what happens. You can play as many as you want to on your turn and let's just see what happens. Because after a few turns, they get it.
Yeah. Yeah. It does pick up pretty quick and, you know, you're not getting mana burned or, you know, frustrated by just getting blown off the board.
And you don't have to explain the stack.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, God. Just don't. I get.
There are timing things.
Get
that
an eye twitch.
We even get
stack.
Into like we get into timing questions when we're playing.
Right, but we didn't get into that till we were like done with 3 weeks of playing wrongly. You know?
It's because it took us 3 weeks before someone read the rules.
Right,
pretty sure it was Chris.
At least 3 weeks.
Yeah, at least 3 weeks.
But yeah, the not having off turn actions at all. That's huge. That's a. It's not only like an easier, teachable game. It speeds up the turns. Quite
you know.
A bit.
You know. Yeah, actually, I kind of disagree with that a little bit.
Why?
I do.
Why?
Well, okay, because you're a gamer first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm more of a social guy first.
Sure.
And so I think my games go longer because I focus on my turn, and then when it's not my turn, I talk to Chris, or I get a beer, or I go out to John McEnroe.
You're terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're right, though. I think the off-turn stuff, Chris and I were talking about that just today over a beer, and it was, you know, we appreciate the level of stress, right? Because I'm the kind of, I like to plan a few steps ahead and I've got my cards and I look at it and, you know, I know what they do already. So I've got my turn planned based on my board and your board. And unless you throw a crazy curveball at me, I kind of know what I want to do. And for me, it's just focusing on the order of the card, and making sure I'm optimizing the turn. And then it's just boom, boom, boom. And then, yeah, you can kind of relax and let the other person go.
Right. Yeah. Drawing at the end of your turn is a more recent gaming innovation. It always used to be draw at the start of your turn, but you can plan way better when you draw at the end of your turn.
Yeah, I love it.
I love it. We're going to have to apply all of our skills here because in a week, my dad's coming to visit.
And you're going to teach him?
He has agreed to keep an open mind and try KeyForge.
Oh, really? He's going to try it? Greggy?
Yep. Greg is going to play KeyForge. Awesome. Right here in the fort. Scott, you'll probably be here. You guys will all probably be here for it. But it's going to be interesting. We might even try to set up some microphones and capture a few interesting sound bites.
I don't think I want to be around when you key fort your dad.
I'm not doing it by myself. We're going to need like a support group. We're going to need the right music. Probably Iron Butterfly.
Yeah, but he's distracted easily.
Well.
And he doesn't like to sit still.
That's a good point. He does. He can't.
He can't sit still.
He has to be doing things.
Right. So it's gonna be a challenge. And
we'll get him there.
If I'm here to distract him, he's never gonna complete a game.
Well, that's where you know the beer comes in.
Yeah, he's gonna want to sit on the couch and make silly jokes.
That's a good point. Well, that'll be fun too.
Yeah, it will be fun.
So yeah, but we're gonna have to try that out.
So earlier this week, I found this deck on Reddit being talked about: Monsoon the Speedily Fleet. And I sent it around to you guys to get you to look at it. And it's got two Horsemen of Pestilence in it. And if you guys know what Horsemen are, they're the ones that made everybody on the internet go crazy on eBay and buy all these decks for $200.
Right, and they're garbage.
And this one has two in it. And what these are, they're fixed cards. And so when they are packaged and chosen by the algorithm, the other fixed cards come with them, and so that there's always three horsemen that come with the Horsemen of Pestilence, the Horsemen of Death, the Horsemen of Famine, and the Horsemen of War. And this deck, Monsoon the Speedily Fleet, has two Horsemen of Pestilence, which means it has two Horsemen of Death, two Horsemen of Famine, and two Horsemen of War, for a total of eight horsemen.
Whoa.
It's kind of
eight horse.
Synergy.
No.
Sort of. Not at all.
I looked at this deck and I immediately, so I wanted to look at the supporting cards and there are none. So in my mind, a horseman deck wants a lot of fat creatures because you're going to be killing them off with, what is it, Pestilence that kills off the little guys?
This thing doesn't need creatures. This thing does not need creatures. It needs the horsemen. That's all it needs.
But
that's the only creatures it needs, right?
The horsemen then, don't do much.
And then in Shadows, it has a bait and switch.
Yes.
Okay. It has a poison wave to get rid of some other stuff, right?
You're going
to
kill your own little weenies with that deck.
That's okay.
It's true.
No, it's
that's okay, because there's really no other little weenies in here.
Yes, and there's like
there's a Nexus and an Umbra.
Like six,
for sure.
Three or
there's,
less.
There's
dudes.
There's a few bad drones. Yeah. Okay, right, but there is 12 Ember generation in just the cards.
Sure,
which means it's probably not a banger because our bangers are kind of consistently 7, 8, 9 Amber built in, is what I've been seeing. But I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at the list right now, and it looks schizophrenic. You know,
yeah,
logos,
I mean, the Chaos Portal,
Sanctum, and Shadows. And Shadows doesn't really have any kind of jive like the Miasma card. Skip a Forge phase, like.
Well, it's control. It's control.
Kinda, yeah, but that's the kind of control I don't like. If I find a deck with those, or like an Effervescent Principle, I consider those like this deck is not cannot impose its will on the other person. It has cards that are designed to hang around and stay in it and hope for the best. And I don't know, if this was with Brobnar, it'd be nuts.
Yep.
You know, if you had a bunch of like aggro beefy Brobnars and these horsemen and a bulwark in here.
Yep.
That'd be sick.
It just seems like the Horseman of Death. That's the horseman that lets you play, return each horseman creature to your from your discard pile to your hand. It just seems like you can be super aggressive with your Sanctum, where you don't necessarily care if they live or die, because you have another Horseman of Death sitting in the wings, which means that these horsemen are always going to be out. They're always going to be fighting or reaping. They're always going to be maintaining battlefield control.
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
You've got nothing in the other houses to support the horsemen, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree with Dan on this one. You got Bat Drones, Titan Mechanics.
Right.
Which is
Titan
super
mechanics
tricky.
Are great. Titan mechanics are great.
Well, no, they're not. Like, no. Not with the horsemen, because you're going to be killing everything off and playing more horsemen all the time.
Right. And Chris and I talked about Titan mechanic today. It's you have to be able to bounce with Titan mechanic. We were talking about, you know, if you've got Bad Penny, and, you know, like Pawn Sacrifice or something, you can get your Titan mechanic out and then get Bad Penny on a flank. And then when you need it to forge at 5, you straight up murder her, or you go fight somebody and kill her. She bounces back. Now it's on a flank for you. And then you take it back off a flank by adding a creature. So you're, because Titan mechanic is a two-way street.
For sure. Right.
And you know, you can lose a game if you miscalculate, if you leave him on a flank. It happened to Chris last night.
It did.
So I don't know. I don't like it. I don't think there's enough support, like Dan said. I mean, you'd have to get a really nice draw and then just basically just fight, and hope you get a Horseman of Death to return your horseman. I don't know. I don't think it's enough.
Well, I like it, and listeners, if you like it too, or you don't like it, why don't you comment on the blog post, the show notes.
We'll post up a link to it.
And let us know what you think. KeyFortPodcast.com.
That's the link
you go to.
It's on the internet. The World Wide Web.
We'll also have our league results on there too.
Yeah, right now
shamefully I lose.
Right now we have week one up. And you can check week two out after next podcast.
Yeah, are we doing a league update next podcast so folks can hear what happened?
That's the idea.
Awesome. Yep, next podcast we'll have league update. And yeah, it was an exciting week of matches. We've got a lot to talk about next week.
Yeah.
All right, I think that about does it. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you join us again.
Yeah, hopefully you come back. I'm going to lock up the fort now and go inside because it's freaking freezing outside, Mr. Bigglesworth.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next week, and I promise the Fort Report will be better.
It better be. I'm bringing strangers in.